My wife's sending me notes. What would we do without our wives? Amen. To boss us. It's good to be here today. Looks like we're about half full. You're the people of faith, aren't you? You came, and despite the weather, and we're normally about twice this full. You know what I like about you guys? And I, you know, being a non-denominational church, there's such diversity here. And all the way from very laid back, quiet, to boisterous. Should I say boisterous? And it's all good. It's all good. We can express our love and express our faith. And it's okay if you want to be quiet. And it's, you know, as long as you don't get out of order, it's okay for you to be boisterous and to love God. And, you know, one thing that I've seen, usually it's people that have been forgiven much who rejoice much. And we see that. One thing we got coming up this week that Jason wanted me to remind you of, that we do Celebrate Recovery here, which is a Christian 12-step program that deals with people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It's not just about alcohol and drugs. It's about life. In fact, you can take the 12 steps and have revival if people would follow them. But anyway, we've been doing it for 5 years now. So we're getting ready to do a celebration this Friday night, and he wanted me to invite you to come. The area director of Celebrate Recovery from Russellville, Nelda Alexander, will be here. I think we're going to have some testimonies and worship, and it'll just be a fun time of celebration, and I just want to encourage you to come. They eat at 6:15, come and eat, stay for the service at 7. We got something going here all the time, and that's a good thing. We believe that we ought to make a difference in our community. Isn't that true? Amen. And Celebrate Recovery is one of the ways that we do that. And for those of you who don't know, a lot of the Celebrate Recovery people are our loudest people because they've been forgiven a whole lot. So that's okay. But I just appreciate the variety in this church. I'm of a Methodist background. We have lots of Baptists. I love Baptists. And Catholic and Church of Christ and heathens. And we love heathens too, don't we? They're just not going to stay heathens long if they come here, because you're going to hear a message of hope. You're going to hear something that'll help you in your daily life. And it's when you hear the Word of God rightly divided, it's really, really hard, if you have any sense at all, to reject it. That's true. Because the gospel message is so good. I'm getting messages. Let me quiet my phone real quick. I don't normally do that. But the gospel message is so good. And if you receive it, it becomes a whole lot better than that. Last week, we talked about the importance of putting the Word of God into your life. We're going to build on that today. We're going to start a new series, and it is called Real World Faith. You know, we see a lot of what they call reality television. Does anybody watch reality television? You know, one of the things as you look and you observe about reality television, it's not that real. You know, you turn on and there's Jerry Springer. And they get the kookiest things. And I think some of those people put those things on sometimes. But Jerry Springer. And then you got The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Really? Is that the way you're going to find your spouse? You're going to go through the process of elimination? I mean, everybody's going to sleep together, and then they're going to choose, and all of this romance and stuff. I'm thinking, really? That's reality? And even some of the more tame reality things, like American Idol, where they come in there and they're auditioning and they're doing all of this, and really, One thing about reality TV, everything happens on cue, and everything happens in the middle of the media. And because it happens that way, it's not the same as things that happen in real life. It's not reality television. You know, I've seen, it's always entertaining every year, and I wish they would skip it in American Idol. You know, you got this young lady, her mama has told her all life, you can sing, sister. I mean, you got it. And they get up there, and they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. I mean, and they think they're all of this, and then Simon Cowell or whoever breaks their heart. And what's up with that? Reality television is not reality at all. It's not real life. So today we're going to be talking in the next 5 weeks. We're going to be gone 1 week because we're going to Africa in 2 weeks from, or a week from today. But we're going to be talking about real world faith, because I believe this, that faith, real faith, will help you live in the real world. Now, let me tell you what the real world is like. It's like the world that you live in day by day by day by day. Have you noticed that every 30 days those bills come due? Have you ever noticed that you get that bill from the electric company, the gas company? You got to make your mortgage payment. You got to do that every 30 days. See, that's real life. Not all life is rosy. Have you noticed that? Not all life is rosy. And there are good times, and there's mountain highs, and then you go, you face some difficulties. Our family faced some difficulties this last year. We lost my dad. And I'll tell you something. Without my faith, I don't think I would have made it through there. But because I have faith and I have hope, I know that one day I'm going to see him again, because he believed and embraced Jesus Christ. So let me tell you, real world faith will work in the real world. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Today we're going to talk about some of the characteristics of what real faith is all about. I want to read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says this: "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." The end of the commandment is this. It is charity out of a pure heart. Now what's charity? Charity is love. Charity is love. So it's love out of a pure heart. Number two, a good conscience. And number three, faith unfeigned. And that word unfeigned just means authentic, real, not put on, not a pseudo faith. So if there is a real faith, then there is a pseudo faith. There's something that looks like faith, talks like faith, acts like faith, but it's not faith. Can I tell you, and this is, last week we spent the whole service challenging you to get into the Word of God, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by having heard. Faith, you don't have faith because you have heard. Faith comes by hearing. It is a growing proposition in your life where you're going to grow day by day by day as you put the Word of God into your heart. Amen. So one of the most outstanding things that I want you to understand, that all faith is based on the Word of God. See, there's a lot of people who say, "I believe, but it's not based on anything that you can substantiate." In fact, all it is mental assent. Real faith is of the heart. Romans says, but what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your heart, and it's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, that's talking about real biblical faith. It's in the mouth and it's in the heart. It's not in the head, it's in the heart. There's a difference in your head and heart. There's a lot of people say, "I believe," but it's all mental. It's all mental. And you know, it starts mental, but at some point in our life, it has to get down in the core of your being. So if we're really going to have a faith that will cause us to live in this real world, we're going to have to base it on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One thing I want to be known for in this church is that we are people of the Word. The Word is the greatest thing that you'll have to deal with in life. You know the sad thing and the sad statistic is that most Christians do not read their Bible. If you read your Bible and you read your Bible daily, you are in the minority, not just the world, but in churches. People do not read their Bibles. That's why it's so easy for them to be led astray. That's why it's so easy for them to be caught up in all kinds of crazy doctrine. But listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, the Word of God is alive. It's living. And you'll read it one time and it'll speak to you different than it spoke the time before. And it's not because the Word changes. It's because you could only hear at the level that you were on at that time. It unveils itself as you are ready to receive it. And you'll see things that you've never seen before. And you'll see realities because of where you are in life. You'll see realities about those things. So I want to give you 8 characteristics of real world faith. Real world faith. The first one is this, is real faith is more than just believing. There's a lot of people, you talk to them, you witness to them, you go out into the world and you start talking about Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And it's all mental. They've done absolutely nothing with the fact that they believe in Jesus. And in fact, it tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Did you know Satan believes in Jesus? The demons believe in Jesus. You know why? Because he whipped their tail on the cross. That's why they believe in him. But does the devil have faith? No, but he believes. See, it's possible to believe and not have faith. I want to drive that home. It's possible to believe and not have faith. Faith is more than just believing. Believing is one aspect of it, but there's more to faith than just believing. Number 2, real faith is positioned in dependency. Independency. Now I want you to listen to me. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, one of the things that we encourage you to do is to grow in your knowledge, to grow in your relationship. And I've been a Christian since 1971. That is back in the Stone Age. How many of you were not even here in 1971? Yeah, a lot of you. Really? I became a Christian in 1971. And I had a voracious appetite for the Word of God. I crammed and everything I could get a hold of, I was reading it. I was reading the Bible. I was asking questions. I drove some preachers around here crazy asking them questions because I wanted more. I wanted to understand more. I had to have it. I had to have it now. And I've been around for 40-something years as a believer. But you know, if you're not careful, you get to depending upon your knowledge. You get to depending upon your ability. And you get away from a dependency that we're supposed to have with Christ. There's a scripture found in Matthew chapter 18 in verse 3. And Jesus talking, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, you said, "I thought we're supposed to grow." We are supposed to grow. We're supposed to go from the milk to the meat. We're supposed to grow in grace. We're supposed to grow in faith. But listen, one of the things that we never need to do is get away from our dependency upon God. See, the ideal here is unless you become as a little child. And that Greek word means a nursing baby. Now, you're not, you say, am I supposed to nurse? I'm supposed to be a spiritual baby? No, you grow up, but you never lose that attitude of your dependency on the Word of God. See, you're never going to become such a spiritual giant that you don't need your dependency on the Lord. The Word of God, if we understand it right, ties us to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. It ties us to Him. It does not make us independent. It does not make us self-sufficient. We are still dependent upon Him. We've got to live that way. And real faith never gets to the point that you can say, well, Lord, I can handle this one. I got enough word in me. I can handle this one. Well, you got enough word in you. You need to know that you have a relationship with Him, and that's what you need to depend on, because it's not about you. It's not about the arm of the flesh. Some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. See, that's what we need to be strong in, is the power of His might, not the power of our might. So real faith is grounded in our dependency on the Lord. The third thing is real faith is built on a real relationship. It's built on a real relationship. See, Christianity is not really a religion. We've made it into a religion. We've made it Catholic and we've made it Protestant. We've made it Baptist and Methodist and Assembly and whatever. I couldn't name them all. But we've made it into a religion. But Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. He was always Jewish. I want to say something. Now take this right. Was Jesus a Christian? He was a Jew. But what He came to make was really not a religion, but a relationship with God the Father. Now, He raised the church up. But one of the reasons He raised the church up was because that the Jewish religion rejected Jesus. It was not His intent to drive a wedge between Judaism and Christianity. See, we are tied to Judaism. But we've made it a religion. But it's about a relationship. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus talking says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will dine, share a meal with him, and he will share a meal with me." We'll share it together. You know what that's a picture of? That is a picture of a relationship. Now, one of the dangers that we've had in a lot of the circles that I've been in, that we're so word people that we've made it about the word and not about our relationship with Jesus. We have to maintain a solid relationship with Jesus. Listen to this. I believe in the word. I believe in the power of the word. Why? Because it's the word that points us to Jesus. And Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the one whom we have a relationship with. And we need to grow in that relationship with Him. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's true anyway. Okay. So real faith is more than just believing. Real faith is position in dependency. Real faith is built on a real relationship. Number four, real faith is not based on works. Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law on the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This was the whole conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. See, they were people of the word. They dotted every I, they crossed every T, they watched over people to make sure that they kept, and they developed a legalistic system by which they were trying to earn a relationship with God. But the Old Testament says it and the New Testament says it, that no man can be justified by keeping the law. We are justified by faith. So real faith is not based in our works. You don't earn your blessing. And you say, well, we know that. But yeah, you know what? But when we struggle sometimes, we get into that works mentality because we think, well, if I do this, God won't love me. Can I say this? If you never accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God will love you. He'll love you till you go to hell. Okay? God loves. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? He loves. And his love for us is not based on our performance, and we do not earn our blessings. We do not deserve our blessings. We are not in a wage relationship with God. Now, you can put yourself there, but that's not where we're supposed to live. Real faith is not based on our works. Now, I'm going to contradict that in a minute, so hold on. Number five, real faith will not act on its own. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I don't know about you, but I have the tendency to be compulsive. And many times I will act on my own. I'm believing God for a certain thing, and if I'm not careful, I'm out there trying to manipulate it and make it happen. That's not real faith. See, real faith doesn't act on its own. Sometimes we have to wait for God to act. Things that we believe, things that we're believing for. You know this, you know, maybe you're believing for a loved one to be saved. And you're out there, you're just pestering the dog out of them. You need to get saved or you're going to hell. You may be running ahead of God. Did you know that? You may be a bigger hindrance than a help. Can I tell you, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. I don't know who it is and don't care. God loves your loved one more than you do. And God is more willing for your loved one to be saved than you are. And it's God that will do the work. See, they said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws them. God is the one who is at work. And sometimes, you know, we're believing but we're acting on our own. Sometimes we need to step back and let God do the work. You know what? It works better that way. It works better that way when we'll do that. So real faith doesn't act on its own. See, Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let God work through you. Quit picking up your old life and your old ways. Reckon yourself dead to yourself and alive unto God, and allow the life-giving force of faith to work through you. It will. It'll work through you. Faith is not manipulation. Faith is not manipulation. Okay, here's the next one. Real faith responds with obedient action. See, I just contradict. I said faith is not embedded in works, but real faith responds in obedient action. And here's the whole difference. One, from the standpoint of work, says, okay, I'm going to do this so that God will do this. And if I do this, then God will do this. And if I don't do this, God won't do this. It's the other side of the equation. This side says, okay, I believe, therefore, I'm going to be obedient to act as he says, as he leads. I'm going to be obedient to act as he leads and guides. See, one of them is on this side. The other is on this side. One's on this side of faith. It's got the wrong concept. The other is on this side. See, faith without works is dead. See, that's why we said a while ago, faith is more than believing. Faith is action. But you're not acting to get God to do something. You're acting in response to your faith. If I believe that God blesses me if I'm a giver, what if I don't give? I'm not in obedient action. But if I believe, maybe I've got bills and I need my bills paid. But God loves a cheerful giver. He multiplies the seed sown, and I believe that. Therefore, I give. I'm obedient in that action. See, I'm putting my faith to work because I believe, I act. I'm not acting to get God to do something. I'm acting because I believe something. And that's where real faith is at. Okay. Number 7. Real faith has joy and peace. Can I tell you that the life of faith is one of joy and one of peace? Not everything always goes the way that you think it ought to go. Life is up and down. There's good things in life. There's hard things in life. But let me tell you this. When you walk the faith life, your circumstance does not determine your attitude. Are you hearing me? Your circumstance does not determine your attitude. Your faith determines your attitude. See, because I believe that I will see my dad again, I didn't grieve as those who have no hope. You know, it has to be a horrible thing. And I've been there with people that they knew that their loved one didn't know Christ. They had no hope. You do know that not everybody goes to heaven, don't you? I mean, we have a tendency to tell, oh, they're in a better place. Well, you don't know that. Not everybody goes to heaven. And there are situations where that they were not professed believers. And that family grieves in a different way because it ends right there. Well, you know what? Mine didn't end at the grave. It's just a hiccup. It's just an interruption. My dad's younger than I am now. Glory. He's in heaven rejoicing with his mama and his daddy and his grandparents. And he's there with his old friends. And you know, well, you say, why do you say that? Because that's what the Bible says. And I have faith in that. And I believe. And I can have peace and joy even in the passing of a loved one. See, that's what real faith is based in. And it brings peace and joy. Let's read the scripture, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that works with faith to cause you to abound in believing, to abound in a greater hope. Listen, the walk of faith is a joyful walk, even when you walk through the hard spots. Because circumstances do not dictate your attitude. Listen, if circumstances dictate your mood and your attitude, you need to check up your faith life. Number 8, and we're going to quit. Going to get you out of here before it gets knee deep in snow. Real faith has results. John 15:5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. What is that a description of? Two things. A relationship and one where there's dependence. He's the vine, we're the branches. Where does the life come through? It comes through the vine. It goes into the branches. Who bears the fruit? The branches. But we can't do it without the vine. He says, without me, you can do nothing. So listen, real faith produces fruit. Real faith produces fruit. It comes out of a relationship. It comes out of a dependent relationship on him. with him through his word. When we put that in there and we begin to do that, the natural thing that's going to happen, that we're going to be fruitful. We're going to be fruitful. And you know what? There's going to be people who come along and pick your fruit. And they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good because they taste of your fruit. See, the real life of faith is one of fruitfulness. Amen. Y'all were laid back this morning. What's up with that? Y'all usually all that? I believe the first crowd outdid you today. Woo-hoo-hoo! Praise God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his faith. Thank God for the life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let's stand together.